Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan Prince with Legendary Productions. What's up?
Hey, how's everybody doing today? All right, so Nathan, we got a special guest with us today.
Woo-hoo!
For a kind of a hot button topic.
All right.
Up here. And now this isn't one of me bringing in a special guest of my own making. This is an actual person. So for everyone who is wondering, now we've actually got a real third person with us today. So let's welcome Colby Banks to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast.
Hi, Colby. How
hey,
you doing?
Hey, Colby. How you
good.
Doing?
Thank you guys for having me.
So glad you're here. It's exciting.
So tell us about yourself, Colby.
So I am a 24-year-old actress in the area. I'm trying to get my roots out, really just build up my resume. And I have worked with Michael for a long time now.
Sorry.
Longer than I'd like.
I mean, oh, congratulations.
I'm kidding.
I'm just kidding.
No, she's been in four of my shows in the past year.
Oh, wow.
Four shows and hopefully counting. He keeps asking me back, and I'm like, I don't know. Okay.
All right. That's awesome. Are you? Do you just do drama, or just acting, or do you sing as well?
I sing as well. I think I'm more of an actress who can carry a tune, though,
okay,
than like a singer who can go out and act.
Well, that's debatable.
I guess.
She's a good voice.
She does.
She's a good
I was the lead at the local community college in Sister Act, I will say that.
Oh, congrats.
My rise to fame right there.
Hey, take it. Own it. So what's our hot button subject?
Hot button topic. So, Colby, tell us a little bit about, when we first started talking about this, and this has been kind of in the works for...
She reached out to you about a topic, right?
And it's been a while. It's been a few months, I think.
It has been. I've been pestering him since the start of the podcast that I wanted to be on the podcast. And I finally approached him with a topic that he was like, you know what? I'm willing to talk about it.
All right.
So if you can't tell from my voice, hi, hello, I am a black actress. And recently I was in a show that we had to find two actresses who could play the same character. And I was very nervous and anxious because I didn't think I'd get casted because of my race. And I brought it up to Michael in terms of, you're a director, you're a producer. What do you think on blind casting? What do you think on adding race as an element in casting? Do you think it hinders? Do you think it's worth the risk? I mean, if we're looking in the climate we're at now, I think a lot of local theaters probably wouldn't even think it's like worth the monetary risk of doing so, because there can be so much backlash, which I don't get, but kind of get. So I just thought it'd be an interesting topic to like pick your brains on, especially as an actress trying to work her way up in the community. I'm really interested in like, is it a waste of my time to even go on this audition? Is it still good to go out just to like get my name out, get my face out there? So yeah, I just kind of wanted to pick your brains.
Well, before we dive into this, I'm going to put a little disclaimer for me. I am not good at just English as a whole, so I'm not very good at PC. I love everybody. Race, religion, anything. Like, you could believe in unicorns, I still love you.
I think you love most people.
Okay, Mike's out. But everybody else, I'm just kidding. No, Mike and I love everybody, and this is obviously a sensitive and important topic.
Mm-hmm.
So know that it's all set out of love, and it's a topic of discussion. So it doesn't mean what we say is even like our biblical truth or what we stand by. It's just kind of brainstorming as we talk. Know that we don't mean offense to anybody. Just be aware of that and know that it's all out of love. And you can feel free to reach out to us and message us if you have questions or just want to talk about a little bit more in depth on our thoughts on what we're doing and what we were talking about. We're down for that too. So just want to put that out there and know it's all out of love, and just to get the word out and then kind of just discuss this and see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things we were talking about just, right before we started recording was, that, there are people listening to this from many different countries.
Countries,
and
states.
States, countries, and, hopefully what we say will translate, to everybody listening. Just like Nathan said, hope that you can tell our hearts on this, and because it is a hot button topic and easy to be offended with. And, and many, because it's very personal.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also one of those things that I really pushed for you to talk about it, only because it's like, in 2023, I don't think the race discussion's ever going to go away. I'm so sorry to say it. I wished it could. I wish I could just be seen as like a great actress. I don't think I ever will. I think I'm always going to be seen as the Black actress. Maybe one day an exceptional Black actress. I'm hoping I could be on like Angela Bassett levels one day. But until then, I think that it's an important topic to talk about, because I think, especially knowing 9 times out of 10, I'm probably going to be the only Black person in the cast. It's always one of those aspects of like, ooh, am I going to be fully comfortable here? Is it, like I said, I just think it's a hard topic to discuss, but it's a very important topic.
Yeah. All right. So let's start off with saying, why do you feel that way? Like, why do you feel like what you just said?
Like, will I be fully comfortable?
Comfortable that the race topic isn't going to end? Like, I mean, have you personally been experiencing stuff?
So I feel like I've always gotten like little side remarks from people. When I first said I want to be an actress, it's always been like, ooh, are you sure? You know, or I've always gotten those like, oh, that's great. Like in Hamilton, and like, no shame to Hamilton. I have a Hamilton tattoo. I love the show, but like actors can be more than the roles that they're written for, including roles like Hamilton. And one thing that really hit me was when I did a show where the main character was supposed to be a Black woman. So when I went to the audition, I was extremely nervous because the director told me it's written for a Black woman. That does not mean I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to who I think is the best performer. So I was really nervous, and it was for a musical, which while I love, I don't think is my strongest hand in terms of acting. I think I'm much better in straight plays. And I had somebody look at me and be like, I don't know why you're so nervous. You're the only Black one here. Of course you're going to get it. And I was like, great, I could be the worst actress in here, but that's the only reason why I'm going to get it. And vice versa, I have had people walk up to me and say, oh, don't worry, I'm not even going to be competition. I would never even audition for this role because it's just not written for me. So it's like, oh, it's a pity role. Thanks. So, that goes kind of hand in hand with a lot of my audition experience. I hope that's not everyone's experience, but that's majority of what I've gotten, at least for roles that were written for Black women. A lot of roles aren't, and they just kind of cast me. And as an actress, I have to put that into my own form of acting, which I don't know if everyone else thinks about, but that's something that I always try to put into my character is like, yeah, she's a woman in this time. She's also a Black woman in this time. I wonder how that makes her feel. I wonder if she would react differently, which is why me and Mike argue a lot during certain roles, because he's like, you're too angry. I'm like, I'm not too angry. He's like, Colby, you're a little too angry. Okay, I'll tone it down.
Yeah. She gets a little too angry.
You know, I heard. Anger. I heard that.
It's. I don't know why it's my go-to emotion. I think it's something way deeper about it. But it's always like whenever I feel the character is slighted, I should be angry. No, you shouldn't. Why are you calm? This is a romantic comedy. I was like, oh yeah, right. I forgot.
And then let me see something else that you said. And oh no, I had it in my mind, and now I got distracted. I'm sure I'll think
about it. Can I chime in on something? Please go ahead. Like you mentioned blind casting. What is that? What does that mean? Like, what does that definition mean? So our listeners can understand what that means.
Blind casting is in terms of like you take a play that's usually maybe have been something like a predominantly white, let's say, I don't know, Mamma Mia, right? And instead of casting people who look like they could be mother and daughter, you just cast people based on who has the best voice for the role or who you think has the better acting experience for the role. So instead of casting two people who may look alike, it's, I casted them because they're the better fit actor. It's very 1997 Cinderella.
I definitely, I'll just speak for Legendary and myself. We definitely, I do understand the term blind casting. Told you I'm not good at this. But I think I've always casted based off of talent and skill. Like, I think we always do that. And even there's a lot of thing about people talk about like fat shaming or skinny shaming or whatever, based on just appearance as a whole. I think as far as Legendary goes, as far as I go, I think it is normally the best and the most talented person gets the role that would be best for the production overall vision for the director. If the director's vision, whether the director be Black, white, Asian, whatever nationality or race they seem to be, that doesn't if their vision and they want to cast people looking the same, whether the Mamma Mia, I'll use your example, the mom being black and the daughter being black, and they want them to look similar, mm-hmm. I still think that could still fall under blind casting because most of the time those roles are predominantly white characters. Yeah. But I think overall, I think it should be the most talented. I have a question, speaking of the blind casting, do you feel that way about, like I know, is it Tiana in Princess and the Frog? Mm-hmm. Do you feel the same on the other side of that? If they had open casting, do you think it would be okay for other nationalities or races to come out for that role?
I feel like it truly depends on the role. I think it's a lot easier to race swap when it's a white actor because white roles aren't necessarily written as, this is my perspective because I'm a white person. Mm. A lot of black stories are like, and I feel this way because I'm black. A lot of thing is like, Tiana feels a certain type of way because she is a black woman in the South.
Right.
So that's a little harder to recast. But if you took something like, yeah, I can't even think of an example because all the examples, at least theater-wise, that popped in my head are all like, Dreamgirls, that's also kind of about being black in the entertainment business.
Right.
Or like, what's the other one that it just said? The Color Purple. Well, that's about the effects of slavery and the Reconstruction. Like, there's a lot of things that are just tied to blackness.
That, so if it's tied to a race issue, then it's harder probably to recast.
Yeah. But it's like you wouldn't race swap Hairspray.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You really can't do that because that's part of the struggle
it's
of the
part
show.
It's part of the show. Yeah. If it wasn't and it just so happened that this is just a person of color who has predominantly been this, like, it, oh, I have an example. Like Hadestown.
Mm-hmm.
You could, Hermes is used, from what I've seen, was usually played by a black actor or mm-hmm. actress. You could theoretically have a white Hermes and that wouldn't make a difference because
right.
it's not linked to what the character is supposed to look like.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious.
And then I remembered what I was going to ask you. You mentioned theaters being very careful because of, or, you know, of putting in a black actor or an actress because of a backlash.
Yeah.
Talk about that backlash. What do you mean by that?
So I think we see a lot of it when it's like big motion pictures, when they cast a black actress in a role that's usually written for white people or usually performed by white people, like The Little Mermaid, that, you know, we saw a lot of backlash of, why would you have her? Why not have the girl who played Ursula as her female form? What was it? Vanessa. Why not have her do it? Why not have a girl with actual red hair? Why are we opening these castings? And some of those comments are arguably maybe a little legitimate. Why didn't you do this when it was originally written like this? Some of those comments, I think, were rooted in a lot of racism. There's no reason to say she's not pretty enough. That girl is gorgeous. There's no reason to say she doesn't have the voice for it. Her voice is gorgeous. It's, you know, if you want to argue about, you know, it's supposed to be set in a certain place, well, the movie took care of it. It's now she's the mermaid who's supposed to represent the, like, Caribbean islands. There is a lot of backlash to that I think a multi-billion-dollar corporation can handle.
Right.
Small local theaters, especially local theaters in a more conservative area, probably aren't.
Let me ask you this question. And this really, I guess, I don't know if this is necessarily a race thing, but it kind of is. So say, like, I've been in other productions and shows where it has been blind casted.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a part of this casting. We made our Cinderella Mexican or Latino or Spanish. I'm not sure the proper thing to say. But we made them a Spanish girl.
Uh-huh.
Well, all these little kids, and I was supportive of that decision, so uh-huh. I'm not saying anything against it. I'm just bringing the devil's advocate. All these little girls came dressed up as Cinderella in the blue dress, looking to see the iconic Cinderella.
Uh-huh.
When they got there, the girls were very confused, and when they took pictures, what happened was the girls ended up taking pictures with the prince because the iconic look was not what was meant.
Yeah.
She was in like a orange, like an earth tone dress,
mm-hmm.
not even the big blue dress, and she was Hispanic. Well, what is your thoughts, or what, just Mike, you too as well, both of you guys, what are your thoughts on that? Because there are standards, like if my girls wanted a princess for a birthday party,
mm-hmm.
and I want them to be Ariel, the redhead Ariel that they grew up on, that's what they saw,
mm-hmm.
and a person of color comes and is that Ariel, is that, where does that land? What does that do?
So I've got some thoughts on that one. And okay. And I think that, you know, I think you need to define right at the start of when you do the show what you're trying to accomplish with it, what you want to have done in your community. And I would feel pretty sad at this point if the people that are, you know, supporting the arts, like, you know, in the Hemet, San Jacinto area, I can, you know, speak for them. I would be devastated if I got backlash for something like that, for casting any type of an actor or actress of color. It's like, you know, the arts are supposed to be bringing people together.
Yeah.
And I just can't even imagine, even in a more conservative town, like I feel like artists are much more empathetic with, you know, or I would expect them to be maybe, and more accepting. And mm-hmm. I would be very sad if, any of that happened. And, you know, when you were in playing doctor with me, we got none.
Yeah. We actually had the opposite effect where we did have a woman of color call, and you told me the story. She was like in tears with you on the phone because
she there was a lady that called in after she saw the show, and yeah, she was in tears, and she's kind of called back to have me pass a message off to Colby. But you know, here's this lady, you know, I think she came in from she traveled in with one of the nursing homes or whatever mm-hmm. to come on a matinee and see the show. And so she, you know, obviously a much older lady, and she just started off talking about it, how much she enjoyed it. And, you know, she said, and thank you for the diverse casting. But then her voice got choked up and said she would have loved to have been an actress back in her time, but nobody would give her the chance. She was like, so you tell Colby that she lived my dream today.
That's inspiring.
And one thing that really made me think about it for the audition that brought up this whole topic is that she specifically said nobody would give her the opportunity to play the romantic love interest.
Hmm.
And, I mean, playing doctor was a goofy show. Like, it's not focused on romance. But that's one of the scary things is that maybe you don't see the issue with blind casting, but somebody may have an issue with an interracial couple on stage. And for her, in her lifetime, nobody would have even thought to have her play opposite of a white man. Nobody batted an eye when it was me and Michael, maybe because it was a little goofy show. The show I just did, though, was way more structured in a romantic drama. And I hope, at least nobody told me, nobody batted an eye either. And I like to think if you have a great show with good casting and you really didn't cast to be outlandish and outrageous and you really went into this of like, they're just perfect for the role, most people aren't going to mind it. It's really the optics of it. And until people see it, those optics can be kind of jarring for some. To go back to your point earlier,
yeah.
I think a lot of people aren't used to things that they haven't seen before or they don't know, especially little kids. But little kids are also the ones who are more willing to kind of overlook it. So if they really connected with the story of Cinderella more, I don't think they would have minded if she wasn't in the blue dress. Little kids are also a little more, they focus more on more details like that. So they're like, why isn't she in the blue dress? Why is she in orange? I hate orange. I'm not going to wear orange.
I would be, I guess, in my opinion, if my daughters wanted Tiana to show up and a white person showed up, I'd be equally or more like, what? That's not the character. Yeah. So I think that's part of...
I think that's those are two different things. Okay. And because if you look at it, because number one, you mentioned like hiring that character to come to a birthday party, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you are, you're specifically paying money to... For the character that you want to be there. Whereas if you go to a show...
That's a creative choice.
You are seeing a show mm-hmm. that a group of people is putting on, and you don't have to go to that show, but you choose to go to that show and see the way that they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, that it doesn't have to be you don't have to look at it a bad way if all the kids are showing up to see Cinderella a certain way and they see it something different. Well, maybe they just learned a spin on culture. Maybe they just saw something new. Is every place going to do it the same all the time? Maybe they will, but I mean, you could really bring something unique to it. And I think that's what a lot of places do try to do. It's like, you know what? It's always done this way. It's always done the exact same way. What if we put our own spin on it, make our own creative choices?
I don't think it's always been done that way. I think it's your job as a producer is to give a form of expectation, though, to whether it be race, whether it be a style. Like if there's supposed to be snow at the end of a movie and you make it not snow, there's expectations as a producer, director that you have to... that you're trying to give your audience what they're wanting as well. So there is that balance on the producer side. I'm not saying that I don't disagree. I was up for that casting, so I wasn't saying that.
I mean, but that's why I kind of got off the topic once I started, but I was going to say you have to sit down right at the start and make sure your goals are very clear. I mean, you're producing, directing. What are we going to do? What's the audience expecting to see? And I guess you mentioned backlash. To some extent, you can predict what that's going to be.
Right.
I mean, like you were mentioning, if you are doing a show that everybody expects to snow at the end or something, and you're like, so we're not going to have it snow at the end. You can probably
predict. You made that choice.
You made that choice. That's got to be like something that you do right off the bat. If you're going to make a major choice like this, like, dude, we're going to do Phantom of the Opera, but, we're not going to include the chandelier in this one. Like, what? People are expecting it. But, maybe there's other choices that you can make.
And I still think blind casting talent's what really should matter. And I think that goes with every direction, with race. I don't care if you're black to white or white to black or Asian to white or Mexican. I don't care about that. I think it should just be truly based off of talent, skill level. And then I do think it does come down to director's vision, whatever race or nationality you are, whatever your director's vision is, like whether it be you want every couple to be, whether you want them to be all the same race or be mixed or however you want to do that, I think that's totally cool if that's the director's vision. But that also then goes to the producer and says, here's my vision. And then, like you said, from the beginning, stand behind that. But I think blind casting is the best way to go because you're missing out on talented people. If you don't do that, you're missing out on the opportunity, two things, to let that person come and shine for your company, but also giving them the opportunity to come and perform and shine. You don't know what you're missing out on if you're limiting yourself, I feel.
And it really broadens up the audience more. I think it makes me really sad because acting is something I love to do. And the older I get, the more I'm like, live theater seems to be kind of a dying art form. Because a lot of people, from what I've seen at least, as somebody on the stage, a lot of times I look out and I don't see a lot of people who look like me, or I don't see a lot of people in my own age bracket. And I always wonder, like, if we did more diverse casting, would that expand our audiences more? I like to think so. You know, when I was in a show a couple weeks ago, I had somebody, a little girl, walk up to me and she said, oh my gosh, you're so pretty and your hair is so pretty and it looks just like mine. How do you do? And she just like started going off on this cute little tangent. And I always wondered, like, is this the moment that she's going to like go back to if she says, I want to be an actor, I want to be a dancer, is she going to go back to this moment? Because I remember the moment that did it for me. So I think broadening our casting will broaden our audiences and hopefully keep theater alive because...
I agree. I think there's a huge aspect to that too.
Can we hear what that moment was?
It was actually the Seussical.
Seussical?
Yeah, it was the Seussical, and I remember it. And it was actually a male actor too, but he was playing Horton, and I remember he cried on stage, and it was one of the greatest like play. And I was four, so I was sitting there like, oh my gosh, he's really like I was really convinced he was this talking elephant, and I was like, that's so cool. And I got to see them afterwards. The cast got to greet the audience. And I remember he said, he looked up to me because he was an Asian man. And he said, you know, if this is something you want to do, you could do it. Because I walked up to him and I said, you're so cool. I'd do anything to do this. And he's like, if you want to do it, you could do it. Go do it. And I think it was at like, I don't even remember. It could have been Redlands College. Like it was not some grand theater. Right. It was some small little theater of the Seussical. And he really showed out in that and looked at me and said, if you want to do it, do it. And from then on, I was like, I want to do it.
Well, good. That's awesome.
Okay. So I'm going to throw something out here and I'm going to throw this out before I even thoroughly think about it. But it's just now that we've So here's one of those things. This could be potentially, you know, this might sound offensive at first. I don't mean it to. I mean it the opposite. But I almost want to have this quick conversation with Colby, as our sound guy just gave us the 5 minutes. Do you think that you should be able to tell, or could be able to tell? And I've actually got my own opinion on this that I just thought of in our talk. But, you know, could you come over and play a white female actress from history that tells a story?
Depending on the role?
Like a historical character.
I mean...
Like Amelia Earhart?
Yeah, let's say Amelia Earhart.
I think it's a little touchy when they're real-life people. It really depends on what the role is. If they made an Amelia Earhart where she's, I don't know, singing... I personally don't think I'd want to. Honestly, I don't think so. There's a black actress, or there's a black female pilot who I just learned about, and I already forgot her name, I'm so sorry, who has a very similar story to Amelia Earhart. I'd much rather bring light to her story than try to be Amelia Earhart. But I also am a theater person, and if somebody looked up to me and said, do you want to be Elle in Legally Blonde? I'd be like, yeah.
I guess the reason I ask is because, you know, I was thinking about that, and... So I mean,
I'd definitely be one of the Hamilton sisters. So like, I guess depending on the show, maybe. But
I don't know. Like I Amelia Earhart, like is just seems more like more than a skin color. I mean, it's, you know, who is Amelia Earhart? Was she skin color? Or would she rather be represented, you know, and known as like, I'm bravery, I am courage, I am someone who promotes, you know, the, or who represents females in that era that, where, you know, females were really not encouraged to fly, where they were, you know, it's like, you know, could you step into that? Could you?
Then my question is, why make the show Amelia Earhart? Why can't it just be about this female pilot?
Well, I guess I'm thinking just like, well, you know, what if the show Amelia Earhart was getting put on?
Yeah.
And, and you saw that and we're just like, oh, you know what? I like that. I like Amelia Earhart. She's, you know, I mean, I like other pilots too, but they're doing this show. I like the music from it. I would like a chance to play that. And I can represent those same things Amelia did, even though our skins were not, maybe not the same shade. We have so much more in common than just skin color.
I mean, I guess if it comes down to like, if I really thought the show was a good show and I really thought that I could bring something good to the character, I guess I could see myself auditioning, but I also don't think I'd audition just because I don't think in my brain as an actress, I don't think I'd get casted.
Well, this is going to sound like I'm being the negative one, but if they're cartoon characters and they're animation, that's one thing. But I think like if they're historical figures like Rosa Parks, I don't think I would ever personally cast a white person to play that role. And just same with historical figures. It's hard when you're trying to represent them. And I do get what you're saying, Mike, as far as the passion and the feelings that they're feeling, but also historical figures. Colby mentioned this a little earlier about black actresses in like, what was one of the shows you named? Like Color Purple.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a little different for them to try to convey that hurt or that feeling. I feel like, I feel like the historical figures.
Yeah. I mean, there are, and I picked historical figure because I knew that's like the extreme.
Right.
They were real people. But I just think that this is interesting. And I'm not really even looking for an answer. We brought it up with 5 minutes to spare.
Yeah.
This is something I think that people should sit down in a room and just talk over and over again. And even if there is like one obvious choice, there's talking points.
Right.
And
it's okay to, and I think that's what's important about this podcast.
Yeah.
It's okay to talk about.
It's okay to have the discussion.
We should.
You're not in the wrong because you're having the discussion. You want to talk about it. And if, like you said earlier, you're not the most PC person, then throw that out there and say, I don't know how to say this without it coming off like this, but this is how it, this is how I feel about it, and have a discussion and be open to hear what the other side is. And maybe it's not going to change your mind. Maybe you don't want your mind changed, but as long as you're willing to listen and hear somebody out, I think that's all we can
do. And I think what you just said is important. It's okay. As long as you're willing to listen and hear someone's perspective, that's what matters. Cause we as a people, we just shut down and we shut it off. It's like, that's not helping anybody.
Well, and you know what? I also wonder if a big part of it is like, you know, why are we not talking about it more, is because we know it's a sensitive topic and we know that, you know, there might be some hurt feelings. Like, luckily, Colby, I feel really comfortable talking with you. I might feel less comfortable talking with somebody else.
Oh, I mean, there's going to be some listeners who are going to be upset that I just said that someone shouldn't play a historical figure of, like, and that goes both ways. I'm not saying it one-sided or not. I would love for Colby to play one of the pilot she's referring to. I'd watch that. Like, that sounds entertaining to me. And then it also, I think actually her race will actually help with that character. I feel like watching that, I'll be like, I think it'd bring a little bit more texture to it, if I may. Like, I think that's.
Well, and I guess, you know, if I were maybe trying to word it a little bit better, like, let's say Colby, because I asked you, would you play Amelia Earhart? But let's say there was a black actress that was just a huge, huge, huge Amelia Earhart fan. And then, you know, that part opens up and they would love to represent Amelia Earhart because they feel like they've got all those qualities and all the things that she believed in. Like I said, like I so much of what she did, just, it just transcends skin color by a long shot. Should she,
as an actress, go for it. All we can do is audition.
Yeah.
And maybe if you have a dialogue with the director or producer, talk to them about it, because they're the ones you'd really have to sell it to at first. But like I said, when it comes to historical figures like that, I'm always on the fence of, I don't think I'd even get casted. So I'd say if you really want it and you really want to do it and you know you can do this role justice and you know you'd eat that role, then go audition. That's the most you can do.
I agree with that too.
That's the most
you can do. I think that's good for anybody, any role.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's like, well, this has always been a 5-foot, 70-pound girl. Oh, well, if you're 500 pounds, go audition, rock it out, make the director go, holy crap, that's okay, I see that as my vision now. Like, and I think that there's got to be something to say for the director and the producers. They do have a vision of a show, and your job as the auditioner is to come and change your mind and say, here I am, world, pick me. And
I know
that's okay.
I know we're a little low on time, but just one last question.
Yeah.
So if you did have an actress who came, actor or actress who came in and they were a person of color and they just blew it out the water, but you did receive backlash, are you still putting on the show?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, we almost answered that.
Maybe more importantly, I'd be like, bring it on. Like, I'd be more, because of their resistance, I'd be more inclined, maybe I'm stubborn, but also bite me. Like
love to
first
see
of
it.
All, it's our theater. Like, it's our theaters. Like, mm-hmm. Bite me. You can go start your own theater and do what you want then. But no, if they're the most talented and we cast it, and I'll speak for myself, I know Mike too, if we cast and we think that's what's best for the show, we're going for it. And we believe in them, actors, actresses of color or non-color, whatever. If we cast that, we're going for it, and people could be mad. And my challenge would to be, not really bite me, but I'd say, hey, come watch it. Come see it. And then afterwards, if you don't like it, don't come back. Or give me feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you thought was bad about it. And let them bring up that, oh, you had a person of color in that role. Oh, well, actually, and then we could educate them. Like, mm-hmm. So I would say bring it on.
And I guess my closing thought on something like that is, you know, we've talked about everybody's job. We've talked about the actor's job, the director's job, the producer's job. And when the audience shows up, they too have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's a little bit less, but I really think that they need to be open to receiving the art.
Yeah. Watch the show.
And if you're just walking in there to skin color is wrong, I hate it off the bat. Come on, man. That's not even giving it a shot. That's not giving the performers a shot. I would just hope that the audience would be a little more open.
I want to talk, I know we're going a little long, but I want to talk about the situation. I was watching Les Mis, this is probably like 10 years ago or maybe more. I was watching Les Mis. The little girl for Act One was this little Asian girl. She played it, and then she was amazing, very talented. She had a beautiful song. She sang well. Intermission happened. After intermission, the girl grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was an African-American girl or a black girl. She was playing the role. And I'll be honest, as the audience, I was like, who's that?
Yeah, wait,
honestly. And they didn't say her name, but I was sitting there going, wait, who's that? For about the first 10 minutes, I did not know who the character was because the director picked the best person for the role. Mm-hmm. And by God, her vocals rocked. But for a moment, I was like, is this a new character? I don't know the show very well. Like, I thought I was confused. So it wasn't about the race, but it was a little bit of the continuity of the character.
Yeah. Once you got over the hump, though, was it?
She was amazing.
So get over the hump.
As soon as I realized who she was and what character, and when she sang, I like melted. I was like, she was amazing. But I do think it's a tricky line because your job as a director and performer is to not pull someone out of a show. So I don't know how you'd fix that or if it needs fixing because she was the best for the role. But it was a little confusing to go, well, who's this character? Like, I really was confused. It had nothing to do with that she was a person of color. That didn't matter. But they looked different. Like, mm-hmm. It just didn't make sense. I was like, now, was I mad about it? No, I was just confused. And by the end of her song, I melted like butter on hot cornbread. I was like, whoa, I don't care. But it was a little bit of a switch for me. And it wasn't the fact that they were color, just that when she grew up, she didn't like look the same at all. So it was a little confusing. Yeah. So I do think we got to be careful as directors and producers too, to balance that, like to make sure we're not pulling people out of a show. It doesn't mean that casting ethnically is going to do that, but definitely was an experience that I had probably 15 years ago. And I was like, oh, and then she sang, I was like, so it didn't matter.
Michael knows we used to work with a director who would only cast people based off of their looks. In my opinion, you know who I'm talking about, and would have those as actors line up and be like, you look like a family unit. You're the family unit now. Mm. And so I understand the idea of like, you're going to throw the audience off. But I mean, if they would have put pictures in the programs and people read the programs, that would have never happened.
You would have known that right away. And also, I definitely have done shows where I've casted all kinds of families, like with mixed races. It doesn't matter. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it matters in some way, but it was just an interesting experience as we're talking about that.
Yeah.
But
all right.
We need to invite her back on a fun topic sometime, too. This is important, but we'd love to have you back on a different topic.
Listen, I pester him all the time, so just say, when was the last time you texted Colby? I promise, right. I'll show
Keep
up.
Keep pestering him. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to our podcast, too, and supporting us.
Yeah.
And thanks for coming on for this. This is very important. I'm glad we can have dialogue and do that. I think it's very important.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, if this airs, this will probably be out before our show opens, so you can catch Colby at Play With Your Food in the play Funny Little Thing Called Love, and she's a fantastic job in that show. So
check her out on the Billboard. She's climbing the stars. She's going to be out there.
I'm trying real hard, guys.
You're going to do it. Keep pushing hard.
All right. Thanks so much, Colby.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I got to meet you again. I know I've saw you before, but
that was an audience member.
Okay. Well, I'm glad.
Don't worry. You'll see me at an audition sometime. Don't worry.
Bring it on. Let's do it.
And thanks for listening to this episode of the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast.
Later.
Bye.